Man, I have such a treat of an episode for all of you today. Today, I sat down with my new friend, Sunny Strader from Sunlight Oracle. Some of you may know her. Her work she shares online is her spirit portrait work, her spirit portrait art. Sunny has such a cool story of how she discovered her abilities, essentially mediumship abilities, in 2020, and how she uses her abilities to connect with spirit, but to ultimately translate their likeness through her art. It is just one of the most incredible things I've ever seen. I think Sunny is doing such groundbreaking, unique work that really inspires me. And it was so wonderful to sit down and have an hour conversation with her. We jammed on so many different things. We talked about her origin story with her spirit portrait work, how she started to develop her abilities, how she built trust. We talk about doubt in mediumship. We talk about Joshua Tree and living in the desert and what an alchemical process that is. We talk about Sunny's unique way of grounding. We talk about spiritual boundaries and setting boundaries with ourselves and really making this work, this spiritual work that we're doing and maybe some of you are doing or hope to do one day, sustainable, which is such an important piece of the whole puzzle. We talk about her database that she's building for spirit portrait art, which is really exciting. Can't wait for you to hear more about that. Overall, it was just such a great conversation with a kindred spirit and a really neat human being, again, who's doing beautiful things on the planet and is helping to create connection and healing with so many spirit people and human beings. So can't wait for you to hear this episode with Sunny Strader from Sunlight Oracle.
Welcome to the show. My name is Emily Green, otherwise known as Emily the Medium. This show is a space for spiritual seekers to explore all of the topics they're craving to hear more about. We'll cover things like spirit babies, conscious conception, spiritual awakening, the age of Aquarius, developing psychic abilities, 5D consciousness, and so much more. Let's dive in.
From Sunlight Oracle is here with us today. And I am super excited to talk to you, Sunny, about your spirit portrait work. And of course, always curious about your journey, your experience, and how you began doing the work you're doing. So we'll get there in a moment. Actually, first, I would love to hear, if you know it, your astrological sun, moon, rising, and your human design so that the audience can kind of have a reference point for your energy.
Yes, I love this question.
Yay.
Totally. So in Western astrology, I am a Scorpio sun, a Scorpio rising, and an Aquarius moon.
Amazing.
And human design, my type is a projector. I am specifically a mental projector. So a lot of, if anyone out there is really into human design, it's a very interesting type to be, in my opinion.
Yes. Mental projector. I've only met a few. You're probably one of the three mental projectors I've ever met. Fascinating and purely curious. What's your experience? Like what, as a, for you living in the energetic experience of a mental projector, I guess pre-human design, what was that like for you? And then post finding out you were a mental projector, what did that do for your self-concept?
Oh, wow. That's a great question. And I think a big part of being a mental projector is actually occurring subconsciously. So I have a hard time articulating entirely what it's like, which I think that's the point.
That's it.
But I will say that my favorite tool from human design is definitely the strategy side. So waiting for the invitation and receiving an invitation to be on this podcast, for instance, that's been very helpful to me in kind of wielding my energy in the direction of people who appreciate it, understand it, or are curious about it, right?
Yeah.
Instead of just kind of taking up space and assuming that everyone is really on the same kind of wavelength as me.
Yeah, completely heard you. Amazing. And I love your Aquarius moon too. My husband has the Aquarius moon as well. So I get like an up close experience with the Aquarius moon. It's the best. I'm not trying not to be biased, but it is one of my favorite moon signs. I just think it's so cool there. It has a really neat expression. the Aquarius moon.
No one has ever said that to me.
Really?
The Aquarius moon. Yes. That's so cool. I'm glad that you appreciate it because I am just now kind of getting in touch with that as opposed to like the double Scorpio stuff that's going on. So
yeah,
I too really love the Aquarius archetype.
I do. Yeah. And I think it's for me, it's just, I love the Aquarius archetype in general, but I think it's super unique in the moon. For some reason, I just really like that placement. It's kind of got this subtlety, but it's still very profound. And you can really, if you know how to look for it, you can really kind of pick it out in someone's expression and their personality. So, and how they're expressing themselves. Anyway, I digress. This is the thing I always get into. I'm like, we're here to talk about other things other than astrology and human design, but I could spend the whole hour talking to you just about that. So moving forward, I would love to hear, Sunny, if you could give us however you're inspired to share about it. I would love to hear your origin story. As somebody who had my, you know, spiritual awakening, I guess you could call it, and into my gifts in 2017, 2018. Even 2016, I'd love to hear just how people came online to that in whatever way you feel inspired to share that today, as long form, as short form, as you want.
Totally. Thank you, Emily. And I just really appreciate the space you've created here for people like me to share. And I just thank you for your interest. So where do I begin? My first chapter into a spirituality really came when I was 28 years old. I am currently 32. So this would have been in February of 2020, a month before global lockdown, right?
Yeah.
So that happened in a very abrupt way for me. I decided, or it felt kind of decided for me, that I was going to get sober and that I was going to learn how to be a sensitive and emotional being in this world. I wasn't going to avoid it anymore. And I really, in Scorpio fashion, made a hard decision. And suddenly I was completely changing my lifestyle. And so I got sober, and I don't want to like totally skip over that because it was very difficult. In my opinion, it's like, for people who struggle with substance abuse, it's kind of like varsity level spirituality. There's a lot that you have to confront. There's a lot that you have to face. And it was a pretty gnarly chapter, all happening under this global lockdown. Now, to make a long story short, I went from basically feeling nothing at all and numbing out with drugs and alcohol for most of my adult life to getting sober and completely feeling everything, like in a really deep way, almost in a way that I had been putting off for a long time. And it's really interesting for me to go back. I know it was only 4 years ago, but in a lot of ways, it feels like 400 years ago. There's just so much stuff.
Such a time happened. Oh, yeah.
Totally. And so I don't want to totally skip over that part because it was really the part of my story that put me on the path I'm on now. And the path continues to throw obstacles and challenges, and that's okay. We welcome that. But yeah, that first year, 2020, was just a lot of me getting to know myself on like a deep, deep level. And I was fortunate to have a therapist at the time, and he was very open to what I was sharing with him, which did include what I perceived to be spirit communication, which is kind of scary to tell your therapist, right?
Yeah.
Because it's like, oh, this is the person who has the authority to really tell me if I'm, you know, off my rocker or not. And I feel really lucky to have crossed paths with someone who was totally, he actually shared with me, I believe his grandmother was a medium. And so it was like, oh, okay, this is great. I think we're supposed to meet
together. Oh, that's amazing.
Yeah. So that kind of support for me was crucial. I also have, I am married to another double Scorpio.
Wow.
Yeah.
You found each other.
We did. And he's also sober. We're like walking the same path together and supporting each other. And I just want to say, like, going through that first part of the spiritual awakening was crucial that I did have some support system, people in my life who did not think I was going crazy. And I could share very openly, like, you know, this new sensitivity that I was tapping into.
Yeah.
So
wow.
That is really how I came into it. I'm very open about, you know, sobriety opening that door for me, and I'm very grateful for that.
Yeah.
And from there, I mean, I dove head first into mediumship because I was just so, I would almost use the word obsessed with like the transformation I was undergoing, and it was happening very fast. So I was going to, you know, mediumship development circles. I had a mentor. I took classes. Like everything was just kind of happening at an accelerated rate, and it was going really well. And I was, it was happening quite naturally. Is what I would say. Like, it was almost like this should have been happening, but like I had to deal with some stuff and now this is happening and I'm glad it's happening.
Yeah.
So really went into like hardcore mediumship. And I have to tell you that in my life before I had this spiritual awakening, it was interesting because I was an artist. I've always been an artist in some form, commercial artist, but you know, that's a whole other podcast. But I kind of shut that part of my personality down when I was doing mediumship because I felt called to 100% go into this mediumship path. And so about a year and a half into the development, as you understand, I'm sure, Emily, of just like all the things you have to learn, I received, you could call it a download, you could call it a message, something in the middle of the night. I sat up straight in my bed and received an extremely clairaudient message that said, it is time to integrate your artistic talents with this mediumship knowledge that you've acquired. And I was like, I think that was like the piece that was missing for a while. And it's okay that it was missing because it really forced me to focus on the discipline of mediumship, of evidential mediumship, and getting that down, right? Mm-hmm. Learning how to do that. And so I was so relieved when I received this message. It's to this day, probably the most like spiritual experience that I've had, like the most knowing or the deepest knowing. And I started drawing the next day. It was just like so natural and I couldn't wait to get started. And so I began to draw spirits as they were coming to me in, you know, I guess what you would call like a meditative state or like in the zone where you are when you do mediumship. I would get into the zone and see who came through. And I have always drawn with both hands simultaneously. And that was from day one. That's just what I started doing, you know, like that made the most sense. And yeah, that's where I mean, there's been a journey since then, right?
But of course,
that's how I came into knowing this. And I also want to say what, like my favorite thing about my spiritual unfolding is like everything comes to me. It feels very new. Like I did not know that spirit portraiture was, I guess you could call it a shamanic or an ancient tradition, but also even in the world of spiritualism, which is frankly how I was trained as a medium, was with spiritualist teachers.
Uh-huh.
That there's even like that's a whole form of mediumship. I didn't know it came to me. And then I was able to kind of like find the context for that, which is amazing. And that's very helpful.
That is amazing. Don't you love those? I've had a few of those moments where it's like the voice comes in and it gives you the very succinct, super clear directive of like, this is what you need to do now. And it's just like, yeah, I know. I really felt your thank you, because it's like, okay, great. I can work with that. You know, I know what to do with that. That's amazing. Okay. This is so good. So many different places that I want to go from here. I think I just have a couple little like comments on your story, because I loved hearing it. And first of all, what an interesting time, February 2020, to have the thing, like your whole life change and to come into your gifts in this way. I think, you know, I was talking to a lot of people in during that year in 2020, and myself, I mean, I had a lot of different kind of personal transformations, but also within my work and how I related to my work. The big thing for me in 2020 was like, I all of a sudden kind of woke up to the fact that there's so much more in the universe, and started exploring like, you know, the concepts of communicating multidimensionally and with different kind of interdimensional and other dimensional beings. And that was kind of my thing. And before that, like pre-2020, I was like, every time that came up, I was like, no, this is not my thing. I'm just never going to be interested in that. And then 2020 came and it was like, surprise, now you are. And now this is going to be something that you have to integrate. So it was such an interesting time. And like you said, I think that so many people had the experience of like, it's only 4 years ago, but in some way, it also feels like so much longer. You know, it's just if you compare the passage of time, like if I think about the time difference between now and 2022, like that, it's just interesting when you compare these kind of like windows and how different they feel. Anyway, so I really felt that as you were saying that as well. And how amazing that you, just this unfoldment of, you were always an artist. And that was one of the questions I was going to ask you is, you know, your art experience and then how that translated. And it sounds like it really just kind of, you got the directive and you started drawing the next day. It sounds like it integrated really beautifully and really quite quickly, which I think is amazing. And like you, in the mediumship space, you know, specifically in the spiritualism space, there is, I think, especially in the UK, where like the spirit portraiture is a thing, but I hadn't heard of anybody that I knew that was doing it. I knew that it was a thing, but I had never seen it really in action. And so then I found your work and I was like, oh my God, there it is. Like, there's somebody doing this work where they're translating these spirit people into art. And, you know, for me, in my experience, something that was so, I don't want to say frustrating, but it was always like a bumper that I would hit up against is, I'm very clairvoyant. And so I was always able to really see people, like the wrinkles on their face, the color of the glasses they were wearing, the earrings, like the whole thing. But I'm not an artist. And so I would be kind of clunky, in a very clunky way, trying to describe people to the person that I was working with. And it just, they would be like, oh yeah, that sounds like, you know, their face, or that sounds, they wore silver glasses or whatever. But it didn't have that kind of, there's a difference to when you can actually see something in physical form and to when you're just describing something. So I think you're doing such beautiful work for people who are able to see their loved one, someone who meant so much to them, like sketched and drawn on this piece of paper. I mean, it's amazing. I think it's for anyone who, because I think we know, you know, I think that in my experience, in my opinion, mediumship is kind of, it's growing, more and more people by the years are becoming more open and becoming more open-minded and open-hearted to the experience of it. But I think there is just something really special about what you're doing, because I think it's taking what can sometimes be this very abstract sort of experience and bringing it down into this physical world. I think it's really amazing.
No, thank you. I too feel the power of art. That's what I believe in. And this has been a really unique expression of that.
Absolutely. So my next question for you is, like you said, there's a lot that's happened since those initial moments to now. What was your unique experience like with, you know, you started tuning in, you started drawing and working with these energies. Because I can think back on when I first started doing readings, and there's like a few readings that really stand out that are like, I'll never forget those. Like, I'll never forget those people. Did you have any defining kind of moments with different energies close to the beginning that really changed things for you?
Yes, I did. And I do, I feel like I had a similar experience where when you are developing, everything seems to be like hitting, like, twice as hard, you know, like,
yeah.
I think over time we kind of become calibrated to our gifts and they become part of our lives. But yeah, at the beginning, I mean, my mind was being blown every day. It was pretty crazy. But the way that I worked is, I'm pretty unconventional in how I approach things. I know that about me, and that's fine. But what I did was, I am a big Redditor. I love Reddit. I've always loved Reddit. It's like my preferred social media for sure. And
yeah,
I felt like I was doing a lot of the development, the mediumship development, on my own. Like, it was like I was doing these courses, but it was also COVID. Like, I just felt like kind of alone. And so I was often seeking out other people's experiences on Reddit, like from mediums, like, how are you all working? And I decided to open up what I was working on with the spirit portraiture to Reddit for free. And just, I knew I was like in a space where people were very receptive to like what I had to say. And this was something that I really was not sharing with people in my life. Like, yeah. The spirit portraiture kind of seemed like maybe I was going to be pushing it a little too far with people in my life. And so I went to Reddit. I truly embarked on a pretty large undertaking of drawing something like 100 or 150 spirit portraits for strangers on the internet. And
wow.
it was like what I had to do. Yeah. Like I had, that's what my intuition led me to do. I had people, advisors, really teachers saying like, you know, advising me to like slow down. And I was like, no, the thing is like, this is coming now. And I really am interested in collecting the data and learning how this works so that I can be of service. Like I want to do this. So I did a huge batch of free spirit portraits and learned a lot from that. Learned a lot about how people receive that information, how to deliver that information. How long do I draw? When do I stop? Of what information is truly, does each recipient truly desire, right? Is it as opposed to just like giving a bunch of evidence? Sometimes that's not exactly the best approach. So I learned all that stuff. And I'm trying to recall, like there are definitely some really big readings at the beginning that, oh, here's one. Okay. Yeah. So I remember drawing one for someone on Reddit and it totally resonated with her. It was her brother. Okay. And it looked like him and she was able to, you know, provide a photo. And I was like, wow, this is like incredible. I mean, he's very unique. He had long hair. He was wearing a bandana. He had a gap in his teeth. Like these are the kind of characteristics that are just like, wow, that's really cool. And we were both really satisfied with the outcome. But she emailed me the next day because she had been spending a lot of time with the information and she perceived his signature in the mustache of the drawing. Like she was able to see his name in the mustache.
And oh my God.
That one really was something that it touched her in a way that I couldn't deny. And also felt like perhaps it's time to get like a little more serious about this. Like this is really not only serving my artistic soul, but also like strangers on the internet, you know, it's just pretty cool. So
amazing.
That one will always stick with me and serve as really just the time where I was like, I'm going to get a little more serious about, like, I think I'm going to pursue this as a discipline. And since then, I mean, truly every reading that touches someone in that way to me still like blows my mind a little bit. It's just what's happening here. I don't know. I'm really just, I see myself as a channel. That's the one that sticks out to me.
That, what I love about, I mean, I love so much about that, but what is so amazing about that is that in my perception anyway, you weren't thinking about drawing his name or his signature in the mustache. That just like was organized on the paper by spirit. How amazing.
Totally. And like, I mean, that was the thing is like, I know in mediumship and in development, like the doubt is a very real thing for a medium. I mean, I can only speak for myself. Like doubt is real. Doubt is human. And there are times where, you know, your egoic mind wants to say like, you, what are you doing, girl? Like, this is getting out of control.
Yep.
And the thing with the spirit portraiture specifically is like, yeah, there are so many moments like that where I'm like, yeah, I could rationalize that I'm just like imagining all this, but like a signature, like, I don't know, man. I don't know if I
can
imagine that. You know?
Totally.
I don't know.
Completely. I had that experience quite a bit too, you know, and I think, and I work with a lot of students who are kind of developing their own abilities. And I mean, that is like, it's almost foundational in a way. People are like, yeah, I'm feeling this. I'm like, welcome to the club. Here we are in the doubt thing that we all inevitably experience on this path, you know? And for me, I mean, I think one of the beautiful things that mediumship did for me is that I was never, growing up, I mean, one of the first books that was like gifted to me was like How to Win Friends and Influence People. I was just, I didn't know, I didn't have confidence in myself. I had usually very low self-esteem. And so then enter mediumship where this is where, you know, this is a space where you have to trust your perception so much. Like it's foundational to the craft is trusting your perception, trusting your ability to interpret that perception and then communicating that perception in a way that is going to be hopefully received by the person that you're working with. And so that, I mean, it was, mediumship really grew me up in a way because it taught me how to trust myself, trust my perception, feel confident enough to like say boldly, you know, something to somebody that just, it was on the tip of my tongue and there's no way that I could hold it back. You know, I had to say it to this person, even if it was kind of wacky and out of left field. And where did that even come from? So, you know, I agree with you. I think that is such a foundational element to the experience. But then
And not to say it still sometimes happens today, certainly not as intensely as it used to, but there are still moments for me as well where it's like, okay, wow, you know, that was pretty cool. If I do say so myself, you know, that was pretty neat. Like I'm blowing, you know, again, like you said, it's more like a channel. It's more like, wow, I can't believe that information became available. So anyway, I love hearing more about that. And I also think it's cool that you trusted the path of your own development as well. Like, you know, you knew what intuitively was going to be a move for you that was going to help you understand your unique experience. Even if that was, you know, against the professional advice of anybody at the time, which I think is so important. And I had a similar experience too. I think that's so cool that you were just like, this information is what is going to help me have an understanding of my gift and its uniqueness, you know? And I think that's really what I'm so passionate about, is like having an understanding of your unique gift. I mean, that and your unique ability and how it's working. And I think that's one of the best things that we can, whether you're looking to do this professionally or not. Okay, amazing. So my next question is, what did it look like for, so you're doing all these readings for people on Reddit and you're learning so much about your unique process. What did it look like for you surrounding, it's a big topic, as I'm sure you know, in the mediumship spiritual kind of community is boundaries. Like, what did it look like? You know, did you have an understanding of what your boundaries were early on? How did you create them? How did you form them around your work?
That's a really good question. And boundaries is a huge part of what I feel like I'm here to talk about, like on planet Earth. I have had to learn them. Okay. And it really does reflect what I was talking about at the beginning about getting sober. And I had to implement boundaries with myself, you know, like we would not be having this conversation right now if I hadn't really investigated boundaries with myself and my own behaviors and yeah, all of that. And so I feel like my business, Sunlight Oracle, is not just a business where I am of service to others and I'm an artist, I'm a medium and I do these things, but it is like a pretty unique mirror for my own spiritual journey as well. And so I feel like your question is very astute in that the work that I do and the services I provide are actually quite, what's the word? I guess I would just say the people who are into it are like really into it. Like this is not something you just kind of halfway are interested in. You've really got to be like, oh, I'm down for this experience, you know, whatever it brings. And so through that and through, I've done a little coaching in the past as well, and just readings in general, I have had to really almost on like, it feels like at this point, like a monthly basis, check in with myself and say like, okay, how much energy am I putting out into the world? And how much of it am I actually calling back in and bringing back in? Because I love to create. Like I can't stop. Like I will draw spirit portraits all day if you let me. Like I will do it. And what I've had to learn for myself is I've had to learn a lot about grounding, and I've had to learn a lot about like putting my energy out and bringing it back for me and still benefiting from it personally instead of just giving, which like you can see even how I started the free spirit portraits on Reddit. I mean, that's kind of wild when I'm talking to you about that out loud. Like that's a lot of it.
That's a lot.
You know, like yes. I was just kind of putting out there. So I will tell you, Emily, it has been, I've only been doing all of this that we're discussing now for like 3 years professionally. And I would say I'm still constantly like getting feedback and information that very much requires me to set energetic, meaning like more on the subconscious level, boundaries with my work, with my clients, and also with myself still. So
yes, that's big. You bring up something so important. And I think that this could relate for anybody who, whether or not they're pursuing something in the, you know, mediumship services type of sphere, but just anybody in general. I think that this is like, I saw you posting about this, about this offering that you've created surrounding boundaries. And I was like, that is so good. I mean, that is
I think in this sort of psychology space, there's a lot of content right now being pumped out around boundaries with family members and boundaries with other people and, you know, boundaries with the narcissists and all these kinds of things. And I think that's really great. But also there is this whole other kind of more subtle concept around, like, just like you said, kind of setting these subconscious boundaries, boundaries with ourselves, energetic boundaries and these sorts of things, which is, I think, sometimes kind of abstract. And so I love the way that that you're bringing this in. And for me, I was the same. I mean, I used to go to group readings and I would do a group reading for 2 hours, mediumship, and then be like, would still feel like I had to give more. And then I would do private readings with each and every single one of them. I would be there for like 7 hours. I mean, it just exhausts me talking about it. It's exhausting to be talking about it. And I thought that it was like, it was just constant, exactly like constant giving without any regard for what I needed to receive back from, you know, back from the universe, back from the earth. That's one of my favorite ways to recharge, is like going to the earth and letting the earth recharge me. But I just didn't put any focus, you know, at the beginning.
Yeah, I hear you. I really understand that.
Yeah.
I was running like that for a long time, like longer than I'd like to admit. And again, who knows? Like, I mean, we're human. I don't know. But it got to the point recently, truly, like in the last, I want to say 6 months or so, where I was like, if I'm going to do this, because I love to do it, but if I'm going to do it, I have got to figure these boundaries out. Like, yeah. Or else I'm not going to be able to do it for the long haul. I'm going to burn out. I've burned out before in things because I didn't have boundaries. And now I'm passionate about kind of letting people know that, like, I understand and I know, and I have some hacks for you, you know, like,
yeah,
I don't know.
Yeah.
I could like speculate about like the systemic or societal issues that have put us here in this position, but it doesn't really matter. It's like, how are we going to move forward?
Yeah.
With this problem.
Yeah, completely. So what is your grounding practice? What is your sort of self, how do you like to receive? If we're talking about receiving, what's your way of recharging
right now? So at this point in my life, I live in Joshua Tree, California, in a really amazing, really cool situation that worked out for me, where I'm living in this kind of temple-like home at the bottom of a mountain in Joshua Tree, where my nearest neighbor is a long way away, and I have my space, okay?
And the dream.
That's the dream. That's something that I lived in Los Angeles for 7 years, which is fun, but also like super chaotic, and it was not conducive to my work, to be honest. It was time for me to relocate. So I've been like, frankly, detoxing energetically in the desert for about 8 or 9 months now. And yeah, I feel very blessed. And also just it's allowed me to get quiet and just kind of think about future and envision new things for the world that I want to bring in. But I walk, okay? Like, walking is crucial. It's like, I need to be on the earth. I need to touch all the rocks and talk to the plants. I mean, I do all of that. The spirit of the desert is like my best friend at this point in my life. And so huge thing for me is like movement and being like you, like close to earth and understanding the natural medicine that exists within it, you know? So walking is huge. I would also just say, I kind of mentioned this earlier, but one thing I'm really like gonna start working with clients and like really anyone anyone who will listen, calling back your energy from places where it is, where you may have left it. You didn't know you left it there. Someone might have kind of snatched some of it. You didn't realize it. Like that sort of thing is calling back the energy has been a visualization that I do pretty much on a daily basis at this point that helps me feel more in my body.
Yeah.
And the last thing I would say that surprised me, and I think, Emily, you have done a podcast on this, right? And this is fascinating to me, but I maintained a vegan diet for about 3.5 years.
Yeah.
And I recently, when I was really struggling with feeling grounded, no matter how much meditation I was doing or how much I was walking, or I was even doing Pilates and like, I was just like, I need to be in my body. I changed my diet and I
after, adhering to this vegan diet, I am now, I don't eat chicken or pork just for preference, but I eat pretty much everything else now. And that transition has really brought me back to earth. Okay. I felt like I was guided to that diet for spiritual reasons. I was doing a lot of yoga and, all of the things, but it's time to change, I think.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I'll just touch on that because I relate to you, and I had a very similar experience where early on, it was like basically I moved cities in 2016, and it was like overnight. I was like, okay, I have to be vegan now. And then 6 months later, the veganism kind of interestingly, it kind of preceded the spiritual awakening, but it was kind of almost like it was preparing me to go there in a way.
Yes.
Which is kind of like, it was like, that was a state that my body needed to be in order to, move forward. So, and it was funny because of course I got quite dogmatic about it and I was like, I'll be vegan forever. And this is the way that it needs to be. And then, my body started really not being okay. And I had to expand my mind into like, okay, that was for a period of time. And certainly it was what was necessary for me at the time. And it really supported my practice and my spiritual awakening, all these things, but I had to shift, Isn't that interesting? It sounds like you had a very similar experience.
Yeah, totally. I can relate to like everything you're saying. And I also it was such a spiritual conviction for me, So like when you're saying you became dogmatic, so did I. I didn't think that I would ever not be. And I really, as a creative person, enjoyed the creative side of cooking and all of that. But my body really, again, in terms of grounding, most recently boundaries, that stuff, it was like, wow, I never would have considered how much my diet may have been contributing to feeling kind of like up in the ethers all the time.
Yes, 100%. And what I noticed as well, and I made the transition from veganism back to, eating, incorporating some earth or animal based products back in, is I used to get post readings for sure, but even pre readings, as I would get this just kind of like buzzy sort of, and like it was like there was like live wires moving through my system, and it wasn't terribly uncomfortable, but it wasn't sustainable because it would use a lot of energy. And I noticed that when I made the switch, that kind of post pre experience completely went away. There was none of this like buzzy live wire type energy.
You're just saying my experience right back to me. I know exactly what you're talking about. And I was tired of that ungroundedness.
Yeah. That was it. It became unsustainable. And actually, I didn't even really make the connection fully until right this moment that I was like, oh, that's why. Anyway, amazing. Well, I love to hear more about your practice because I think there's nothing like a long meandering nature walk, just like nowhere to go, not necessarily going in a specific direction, no time limit, just like you and the earth. It's so underappreciated in my opinion. And it's free. It's totally free.
Absolutely.
You can get a grounding mat. You can buy all these fancy grounding tools. But I mean, there's nothing that tops that. And also not even just grounding, but I feel like you said this, but just the alchemy, I think that happens, the energy that the earth will move for you and will kind of transmute for you. It's really special. Yeah.
I feel that.
I love this.
Okay, so I have to ask, you're living in Joshua Tree, you're in this like temple at the base of a mountain. You ever have any, what's going on out there? You see anything weird in the sky?
Wow. Okay, I could say a lot of things.
Where do I start?
I could tell you so many things. The desert is special. And I will also say the desert is not for everyone. And that's why the things I'm about to say, people might say, I wouldn't want to mess with that.
Right.
But a couple interesting things. Definitely see interesting stuff in the sky. I've had my husband wake me up on more than one occasion, like shake me out of a sleep and be like, what is this thing in the sky? I don't know. It's cool. We're totally surrounded by stars. And even just like on a night where you're not seeing something out of the ordinary, it is an extraordinary experience. It is, I would even say, overwhelming sometimes. Like the nighttime sky in the desert, you can literally see everything. I will tell you that the way that I've been trained, like as a medium, has been, I guess I would just say challenged by some of my experiences in the desert, which is like as an evidential medium, like, you know, you're taught to really like translate very like high caliber evidence to, you know, show people like this is possible. We're not just imagining this. And I always just kind of like shook my head at like any kind of ghost or like supernatural experiences, if that makes sense. I was like, nope, I am a like spirit communicator. I'm going to keep this very professional. But in this house, in this temple, okay, I call it the temple. It is a house, but yeah, it's like a temple.
So love
in it. There is, I have had like ghost experiences, like I had, which like would fall more on the paranormal side of things,
yep,
including like, it turns out it's kind of common, but I was shocked. It was like jewelry going missing and ending up in the middle of the floor, right? Mm-hmm. Like specific jewelry pieces that are associated with spiritual things for me.
Yep.
And it turns out that this home in which I'm living has quite a history of people having passed in the house.
And
a lot of people have died in this house. And I did not know that until...
Of course, this is where you're living.
Right. I started talking to the neighbors and saying, I know you guys are going to think I'm crazy, but like there's a ghost in the house. And like, no, I've gotten the whole, all the details of several people who have passed in this home. So I would just say like that the desert and this home in particular, like you were saying, how your consciousness sort of expanded into multidimensional beings and such things. I too have, you know, like stopped being so, I would say rigid with what spirit communication can be and what all there is. And again, there are two ghosts I know of, neither of them really causing me much trouble, just like a little bit of, you know, mischief every now and again. But I can talk about that on a podcast now, where I mean, I'm telling you, a year ago, I was just like, nope, anyone who wants to talk to me about like ghosts and supernatural stuff, like I'm not doing
it. Yeah.
Now I'm like, oh no, I get it. I've experienced, I understand.
Interesting. I love it. Your resident ghost friends.
Amazing.
Well, I think I agree with you, because I think that there seems to be in the mediumship community, you know, there's, and I think ultimately, and I would say this is true for myself too, like that kind of like, no, you know, as I had that too, where it was just like, I'm not going to pay that any attention. I'm not interested in it. I'm not interested in talking about it. It's just not the world that I live in. But I think it was just more from my own fear. I was just, you know, which is really why I just kind of shut it down. And then I think there are kind of two camps, not to split it up like that. But I think there is this kind of like, you know, paranormal investigation and, you know, going to houses and doing all these recordings. And there's that kind of like energy around it and like there's whatever. And then I think there is the mediumship community who tends to focus more on working with spirit energies who are, you know, fully transitioned, their, you know, process and all these things. But sometimes it does fall in that kind of middle space. So it sounds like you've like acclimated to your resident ghost friends quite well.
Totally. I mean, I do feel like the desert, the energies that exist in the desert, it's a pretty harsh environment, right? Like it's pretty intense, and I'm pretty intense too. So I feel right at home just kind of with like these experiences. I love extreme experiences, obviously. It's in my history. And this is just one of the ways that now, like as a spiritual being, I get to experience the extreme.
Yeah. I've heard many people say that about the desert, specifically Joshua Tree, when they go there. It's got a very unique frequency. And I haven't experienced it myself, so I can't speak to it directly. But from what I've heard and what I'm hearing from you, it's kind of like, I heard somebody speak about, there's different, you know, different places around the world that I think have this effect. I think definitely the desert, you know, Joshua Tree is one of them. I've also heard like the deserts in New Mexico and Arizona and these sorts of things. And it's kind of like it'll take you deep and it'll kind of chew you up and spit you out a little bit. But it does it with love, you know?
That's so real. Yeah.
So real. It's like, and I think it's funny because I think you,
when I think about it intellectually, it's like, oh, go to the desert. You know, there's not a person around for miles and miles and miles. You think like, oh, this will be very, you know, chill and very, you know, this. But I think there's more to it.
You're dead on. You have told me you've been there because that's exactly what it's like.
What it feels like.
And again, like the seeker in me is down for that. You know, I'm down for it. I will tell people it is challenging to live there, but each challenge I like to meet from a spiritual place, if that makes sense. Like
completely.
I don't know. Make the most of like living in this really wild place. And
yeah,
of course, things go wrong a lot. It's humbling. You know what I'm saying? Like with Mother Nature specifically, the extreme weather patterns are one thing, but also just like the false belief that we have control is also challenged very regularly in the desert. And very often do I say like, this is, I can't control this,
yeah.
You know? And I think that's good for me.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that it sounds like it's teaching you. I think maybe anybody who needs a crash course in surrender, go to Joshua Tree.
Yeah. So real.
First class ticket. Amazing. I love it. Well, it's fun to riff with you on that. Interrupting this episode very quickly to tell you about an event I have coming up on May 23rd at 6 p.m. Eastern. It is called The Conception Portal, and this is a group spirit baby reading. Different from the events I've done in the past called Super Conscious Conception events, which were primarily an opportunity for you to deeply connect with yourself, your body, the energy of your children, and an energy healing event. This event will actually be me tuning in to the group field of all of the spirit babies present and delivering their messages, both collective and specific. And hint, hint, I may even be doing a few one-to-one mini readings on this call, on this group reading. I've never done anything like this before. I'm very excited for it. And I don't know if I'll do it again. We'll see how I like it. So I only have 100 tickets available. I am already 60% sold out and we are more than a month away. So I highly recommend you get your ticket ASAP if this is something you're interested in. We'll be doing a group spirit baby reading. We will be doing a little bit of energy healing. I'll be answering some questions and doing some one-on-one mini readings. It's going to be an amazing experience. Not to mention, we're doing it underneath the full moon in Sagittarius, which is a beautiful moon. So I hope to see you there. I will have the link for tickets in the show notes.
So my next question is, I would love to hear present day.
I've heard that you're creating a database for your spirit portrait church. I'm sure you're very busy with that.
But I'd love to hear you talk about that. And also to add on to that, what's feeling super inspiring for you in your work present day?
Two really awesome questions. Thank you. Okay. So the database is really exciting for me. And it's honestly like the idea has come from responding to my audience on social media. It's like the way that I present my spirit portraits on social media is really almost like a group reading, but for like anyone who stumbles across it. Which is intense. And as a result, like I just had such an influx of feedback from people over the past 6 months or so, you know, to the point where I'm like, I don't do DMs. I can't do any of it. Cause it's just, I can't do any of it.
Yeah.
And so many people would ask me though, like, have you seen Jim or like, have you seen Ted? And I'm like, you know I have drawn Jims and Teds. And I have them in a file cabinet in my house and I don't know who they go to. So what evolved from all of that feedback is that I'm going to digitize. I'm working with a software engineer and we're building a database where we're going to digitize and it will be searchable, ideally. Wow. Again, I'm speaking this into existence because we're in the process of building.
Developing it, yeah.
Yes. So this is the goal and I do believe it will be achieved, but you can search by first name, by last name. Sometimes I only receive surnames. It just depends on the spirit. But people will be able to do such a thing. Look through the gems. Do you recognize your Jim? Do you recognize your Ted? And yeah, I mean, I could talk about the database forever. So I'm just going to kind of like stop there because it's like it gets very multidimensional very fast.
Yeah.
That's
wow.
I just think it's so personally, like as a human, not as like tapping into the higher self, but just being like on Earth for a second. It's like, that's a cool use of technology, you know?
Absolutely. And addiction wise. Yeah, it's so good. And it's like one of the, I think there's a lot of, you know, dark side of technology, but I think that's a perfect example of the beautiful of how connective exactly technology can be and, you know, spreading a message to more people and in a really like organized way. Because I can, I just as you were talking about the DMs, I was like, I feel that in my heart.
I know you do.
I was like, I feel that. I can't even imagine for you with, you know, people sending you information and trying to like link up the pieces. It must be quite an undertaking. So I can only imagine how much the database is going to streamline everything for you and for people who are searching. Amazing. So exciting. Okay. So tell me what's inspiring you in your work right now. What's other than that?
Okay. So the database is happening. Very cool. Project number one happening. I am actually surprising myself by, I have been learning how to tattoo now for a few, I think I started like when I moved out to the desert, because the person whose home I'm currently inhabiting is a tattoo artist who has tattooed me. And then I'm now like doing that. It feels very spiritual. It is still so much informed by my ancestors and by my guides. And I'm so excited you asked me this because like it's something I've kind of been sitting on for a while, but I am currently doing. I've been tattooing myself and my family, and I'm tattooing more family this week, and I'm tattooing friends next week. And I'm like, I kind of like this expression of also like the spiritual in art or the ritual in art that is somewhat transforming for me. And I'm really excited about it.
That's amazing. I can just feel like I'm excited hearing, like listening to you say that. And I can also feel people in the audience being excited about that because perception is that people are looking for that, like what you're describing, that experience, the spiritual element of a tattoo, like the artistic element and like the ritual around it, even getting the tattoo itself, you know, the experience that exists around that. I mean, I can feel that there's people yearning for that and kind of looking for a different experience. So that just makes me so excited. I mean, for you, you sound so excited as you're talking about it, and for everybody who's getting excited about that in the audience too.
I'm just glad that you're excited too, because I mean it feels like a little wild, you know, like I this is something I'm speaking into existence. And again, like spirit portraiture three years ago, I was doing on time, like under the radar, not like necessarily putting it out there, but I just speaking with you and hearing you receive it so well too, I'm like, no, I this is happening now.
Yes. Wow.
It's also, there have been some really like, much like spirit portraiture, when we were talking earlier about how I'll receive information and it is validated later, you know, kind of like the signature and the mustache sort of thing. Like, whoa, what? That's happening with tattoo designs as well, where I'm channeling different designs and then I'm able to like, oh man, it's been wild. Like the stuff that's coming to me in my dreams or in my meditations that I draw and then are turn out to be like, connected to different like indigenous tribes that I've been researching. Like, I mean, it's just wild.
Wow.
I'm really excited about it.
Oh, that's so cool, because it makes me think that, I mean, this is obviously just another medium that spirit is asking you to play with. And then they're also kind of inspiring you in various different ways of like how to pull down the art and, you know, create the design or what have you into the physical, and then, you know, connecting that to whoever it is that you're tattooing. That is so cool.
Totally. And I think, yeah, it's like, it feels like a gift from spirit in a way, because I've been so dedicated to the spirit portraiture thing that like, I just feel like a new expression is also necessary to keep things for longevity purposes, right? Like, okay, let's throw something else in to make it more interesting or renew this connection to spirit in a way.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, this tattooing and tattooing is for our generation really not the stigmatized practice that it has been
in, you know, North America for the last 100 years or
yep.
So it's like, it's a very cool time to be tapping into the art of tattooing.
For sure. Completely. It's like, I think there really is a reclamation happening, and I love that you're a part of it. That's amazing. Well,
thank you.
So Sunny, would love to have you just to close out here. What is the best way moving forward for people listening to connect with you? I know you mentioned this, and this is something that like you said, you've created such a unique experience where people coming to your page, you know, on Instagram or TikTok or wherever, it's basically just a giant group reading. That's so true.
Yeah.
But would love to hear, alongside, you know, obviously coming to visit your pages on Instagram, I'll get you to share your handles and such, but how else to connect with you and your work moving forward?
Yeah, totally. The best way is to familiarize yourself just kind of with the language of spirit portraiture, what it is, how it works through social media. But from there, I mean, I do have a website where there are other offerings. You know, it's kind of like spirit portraiture is like the tip of the iceberg. And if you're like into that, you're probably going to be into the other stuff that I have going on. So
yeah.
Definitely have courses. We can talk about boundaries and yeah, just amazing. Come on over to sunlightoracle.com.
It's an experience. It really is. It's like. It's like that's what I love about your page is that it feels like somehow it's virtual, but it somehow feels very like it's like you've created this actual three-dimensional space online. And I mean, it's quite amazing. So yeah, come on over. Sunny's creating some really cool stuff, and I love following you. It's every time I see you come up, I'm like, yay, more. So I just really think what you're doing is so incredible. And I think it's opening so many people's minds and hearts and creating so much healing. And I, one of the things that I always think about too is how, you know, I think for mediums doing any kind of mediumship type work is, you know, there's the moment that you have with the client, whether you're doing a spirit portrait for them or a reading for them or what have you. And then there's the ripple effect of like how that opens up into that person's world. You know, it's something I think about all the time. And sometimes you never hear from a person again, you know, but I still think about that. I'm still think about certain people. I'm like, I wonder how they're doing. You know, I wonder like what that opened up for them. And sometimes you hear from people like 5 years later and they're like, this, you know, this experience changed my whole concept of reality and the universe and death and, you know. It's just so cool. And so just acknowledging you in the work that you're doing and how you're doing that for so many people. And just super excited for what's to come for you in your work. Can't wait to keep watching and following along.
Thank you, Emily. That was just really very kind of you to say, and really makes me also, I need to slow down sometimes and check and reflect on
I know
what I'm doing. You know, I'm just channeling it all the time. I need to stop and like reflect on it.
I know. It was something I had to remind myself to do. Like, okay, Emily, bigger picture. Like, this is really cool. What, you know, what's happening here? It's so cool. what the connections that people are having and how these people are finding you and, you know, and what it's opening up for them. And I mean, it's like, wow, it's really contributing to something greater. I can really feel that in what you're doing. So anyway.
Oh, thank you for saying that. Thank you for having me. This was amazing. And I'm just, again, grateful to have the opportunity to talk with you about all this.
Yeah.
So exciting.
Yeah. Thank you, Sunny. And for anyone who's looking to connect with Sunny in the audience, I will have all of her information linked in the show notes so you can find her her very unique three-dimensional virtual space very easily. And thank you again. This was a great conversation.